This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the week ending March 9th, 2018. Well, let's get started here. This is from Knowledge Leaders Capital. And Baruch Lev in Knowledge Leaders writes that the economic recovery, what economic recovery? Half of U.S. companies are losing money. There's a graph here. If you're seeing the video on this, you can see that the main finding is that the percent of losers from all companies increased from 18% in 1980 to 46% in 2016. So this curve going up is not something increasing in value. It's increasing the amount of losing businesses over time. And this is just another reflection of what I harp on every week. The real reality is that the recovery really is a non-recovery. The recovery is basically printing more money and forcing it into the banking system, which comes out in the way of the equity markets primarily, meaning that the U.S. stock markets and a lot of global markets are doing well, relatively speaking, in nominal terms. But the real economy, real business, is having a tough time. And article is definitely worth a read and an understanding, obviously, what I'm trying to convey here, that you got to look deeper behind these numbers to see what's really going on. And I quote Reuters almost every week. It's not my favorite, but nonetheless, I like to point out a lot of stuff from the mainstream, Reuters certainly. And this title, U.S. trade deficit races to more than a nine-year high. The U.S. trade deficit increased to more than a nine-year high in January, with the shortfall with China widening sharply, suggesting that President Trump's America First trade policies aimed at eradicating the deficit will likely fail. The trade gap continues to widen a year into the Trump presidency. Trump, who claims that the United States is being taken advantage of by his trading partners, has imposed tariffs on imports of some goods and threatened punitive measures on others to shield domestic industries from competition. Anyone that spends more than, let's say, 4 or 5 hours studying the Austrian School at the MisesInstitute.org, or just from a Keynesian perspective, anyone that looks objectively at any kind of trade war, trade practices, import duties, tariffs, that type of thing, will discover quite easily that these type of impositions on either side seldom work. Really, they never work. They might actually boost something on a temporary basis, but from a long-term perspective, they fail. Free trade means free trade. And unfortunately, there are problems with that from the aspect of the ethics of certain countries and intellectual property. And I'm not saying there aren't problems. There's a lot of problems. But what I am also stating is that by adding a barrier to a good such as steel with, let's say, a 25% tariff on it, and then coming around and saying, well, these other countries are exempt from it or they're going to have a lower rate, et cetera. These things don't work. They look good on paper. It looks like it's fair. It looks like it's balancing and all that. But again, if you do a rather more than a rudimentary study, but an objective study and spend a few hours, you'll determine what I'm saying is true. And before I go into this next headline from CNBC, I just like to point out that when I started the silverinvestor.com website, silver-investor.com, so many years ago, was actually a different domain in like 1998. But regardless, when I got that domain, no one really was interested in the silver market. And yet on an inflation adjusted basis, silver was at the lowest cost it had ever been in all of recorded history. However, there were a few people that stepped to the plate. One, Warren Buffett, 129.7 million ounces of fine silver bought from the commodities exchange. Two, George Soros, not a fan, but he had Apex Silver. Number three, Bill Gates bought a big whack of Pan American Silver, certainly at the right time. So the millionaires were bypassing silver left and right. No one really cared. But the billionaires, what I consider the very smart money, three rather notable names were actually in the silver market. So I digress to come back. CNBC, Bill Gates. We will have another financial crisis like the one in 2008. It is a certainty. The 2008 financial crisis led to the Great Recession and millions of jobs lost. It took years for America to recover. His words, did we recover? I question. And many citizens still feel the ripple effects. According to Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, though, we should be braced for another one. During a Reddit Ask Me Anything last week, when Gates was asked, in the near future, the U.S. will have another crisis similar to the one in 2008, he offered a blunt response. Yes, it's hard to say when, but this is a certainty. End quote. Not much more really to the article. I just think it's interesting that some of these very high profile people are out there and actually stating what me and many in my domain have been talking about for quite some time. Moving on to the crypto world, I've been reporting this on almost every update or perspective for a while. It's very important news. Everything that's happening in the blockchain of cryptocurrencies. This, again, from Reuters. Virtual currencies are commodities, a U.S. judge rules. New York. Virtual currencies like Bitcoin can be regulated as commodities by the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, a federal judge ruled on Tuesday. Judge Jack Weinstein in Brooklyn ruled that the CFTC had standing to bring a fraud lawsuit against New York resident Patrick McDonald and his company CoinDrop Markets, allowing the case to go forward. The CFTC, which is tasked with regulating commodities, futures, and derivatives markets, first determined that virtual currencies, also known as cryptocurrencies, are commodities in 2015. Weinstein upheld that determination on Tuesday, saying it was supported by the plain meaning of the word commodity and that CFTC had broad leeway to interpret the federal law regulating commodities. So this is going back and forth. There's a lot of quote-unquote legal work being done around this space, and of course, it's not consistent, and there's been, you know, some banks that have basically backed off people using cryptos and allow, you know, closing accounts, and on it goes. And then there's been some fake news about such and such closing down, and they really aren't, or not accepting things when they really are, and on it goes. I won't belabor it any further, but we'll keep an eye on this space. Moving toward energy, this is from oilprice.com by Gary Norman. Shale pioneer issues warning to U.S. drillers. The U.S. shale industry effectively upended the oil industry with predictions that U.S. oil production would surpass Saudi Arabia output this year. And you can go on and read the article. Basically, as it goes further, it talks about really what the profitability of the fracking industry at large is. And if you look at it on a total scale of the entire industry, it's been a loser. These things deplete fast. They're very technically difficult, although there's been advances along the road as this industry has progressed over time. But the bottom line is, if you're in any business, you're there for a profit. And these, as a whole, if you take the whole industry, are unprofitable. Not to say there aren't certain areas that are profitable. So this is a very interesting article. I suggest anyone interested in the big, big oil picture come to this website from time to time and listen to the, let's say, the most objective voices in the field to get an idea of what's really happening here. And finishing up a little bit with gold and silver, not a lot to report over the last week. The metals are acting a little more volatile, certainly ups and downs. Nothing of note, particularly with gold and silver prices, although the moves seem to be bigger moves. But again, just basically sideways action, big move up, then followed by a move down, etc. What I do want to bring everybody's attention was the Gold Corp event at PDAC. I was there for the entire event, meaning the PDAC event. Also at the Disrupt Mining, sponsored by Gold Corp. Shout out to Gold Corp. I mean, it's very good to look at these companies. There were 100 that were in this contest, and they selected four that they interviewed. The one that I am partial to and invested in did not win, but they did do, in my view, a good presentation. And again, shout out to Gold Corp, because it's really good for a big company, a conglomerate like Gold Corp. I should say conglomerate, but a big corporation that encompasses a lot of mining and a lot of gold mining, to look at what is revolutionary in their industry and to give, let's say, the little guy a chance to display what they have come up with on a new invention or a new methodology or a new way of looking at an asset, 3D or whatever. So it was very interesting and slightly disappointed that my top speculative pick didn't make it. But I am still convinced that this opportunity in the speculative side has a lot of growth potential going forward with the electronic waste industry. The Silver Institute and the World Gold Council. I did make mention of the World Gold Council when I was interviewed by Kitco, and one of my most important facts to get out to the general public and particularly the financial planning community at large is that gold is required, gold, not gold mining stocks, but gold itself as a balanced portfolio under all economic conditions. And this is pretty well known to people that study the issue, but Wall Street definitely has a bias against having gold. And there's reasons for that. So I interviewed BMG founder Nick Barishef. I also talked to the ever-popular Jeffrey Christian from CPM Group. And I'm going to also include some comments by David Harquail, the CEO of Franco-Nevada, and also the chairman of the World Gold Council. So be looking for a new video coming out from me within the next probably 2 to 3 weeks regarding why gold is so important as a foundation, as a asset class for diversification in a portfolio that maximizes your performance, again, under all conditions. And really, it is uncorrelated to the other asset classes. So until next week, I'll be with you next Friday.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.